not just so we can go home, but I don't want you to be like, man, he is just really driving it home. We got you. We understand. So I don't want to do that this morning. But let's turn to Luke 9. We're going to read verses 1 through 2 and then verse 6 and 11. I believe God wanted me to preach this morning. He actually confirmed it Tuesday night. Confirmed it with the title that was Tuesday night, The Formula of Healing, was Tuesday night. And when he said that, when Brother Flores said that, it hit my spirit that, yep, because I had already had this done, but I wasn't sure if that was what I was supposed to do. And sure enough, when that title popped up there, I was like, okay, well, that's some cool God stuff going on. He's always doing that. It's amazing how God plans things out, isn't it? I mean, when you think, you know, is he there? Hello? It's amazing how all of a sudden it takes just a word or it takes just a few lines that you realize, okay, I know exactly where I'm supposed to be. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I think that's amazing to me that he cares that much. You know, he has a lot on his plate. If you think about it, it's over 6 billion people. That's a lot of prayers going up. That's a lot of things happening. So he's a busy man. But let's go before his word right now. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. It says all, not some, but all devils. And to cure diseases. Not some diseases, but to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And verse 11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. I wonder if you can put your Bibles down. Let's just ask God to help us today. If nothing else, I'm preaching to myself. If I'm not preaching to anyone else, let's ask God to help us. Lord, I thank you for the time of the service. God, I thank you, Lord, that you've given me what you want me to say to this group of people. Help me, God, to say what you need me to say, Lord. And God, I give you glory. I give you honor. I just want to be a conduit, Lord. Just use me, God, today, Lord, to help someone out there. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say amen. You can be seated. So when I started thinking about the scriptures, I started thinking about, you know, healing. I mean, most of you know I'm a supervisor in radiation oncology at MD Anderson. We do over 400 patients a day, and most of them are coming there expecting us to heal them of their cancer. And through God's help, a lot of them were able to knock out. I've had handfuls of patients 6 years ago that I've treated that have come back and let me know that they're cancer-free. And thank God for medicine, and thank God for what he's allowed mankind to dream of and think of and create. To me, that's a God thing right there, that we're able to do stuff like that. Yes, if you have a headache, I don't believe you should, you know, suffer through. I mean, I believe you should pray to God, but I don't believe if you have a migraine, you just, you know. Anyways, I believe that medicine works and it has its own place. And I believe that after we try everything that we can do, we leave it in God's hands. And God takes over and God does the miracle. That's what I believe. But I'm not here to debate that part. But when I start thinking about healing, the first thing that comes to my mind, because of where I work and what's been going on the last few years, is the Affordable Care Act comes to my mind. You know, when you're talking about fitness and healing and all this, it's a big thing right now. You know, organic this, organic that. I mean, right now I got my Fitbit on because I wanted to see how many calories I'm going to burn preaching today. See what my heart rate is. You know, but we're all conscious about health, 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 health. That's a good thing. I mean, there are less people smoking today than ever before. That's a good thing. I've seen a smoker's lung inside. It's pretty dark from the smoking. So, I mean, there's good things that come out of, you know, being health conscious, trying to eat right. And, you know, I'm trying to do better with that. Like I said, I'm with everyone else. We all got our Fitbits on and calculating everything, seeing how I'm sleeping, which is not very good. So, you know, learning about your body. So the Affordable Care Act was signed into law by President Obama on March 23rd, 2010. It represents the most significant regulatory overhaul of the U.S. healthcare system since the passage of Medicare and Medicaid in 1965. The Affordable Care Act is working to make healthcare more affordable, accessible, and of a higher quality for families, seniors, businesses, and taxpayers alike. That is what they say. That's what they say. Again, I'm not here to debate the Affordable Care Act, but afterwards, if you want to talk, I'll be right there. We can debate if you'd like. Anyways, sorry, that was the rabbit. See, I need the rabbit thing Pastor talks about. I'm not going to follow that. The healthcare, you can go on healthcare.gov today, right now, on your phone. Go to healthcare.gov to purchase a healthcare plan. Healthcare enrollment started November 1st, and the last day, for those that need to know, is December 15th. Thought I'd let you know that. To have coverage starting January 1st, 2016. And like I said, I'm not up here to debate Obamacare. That's basically the nickname for the Affordable Care Act. But since this topic is still one of the hottest topics of discussion, it's one of the hottest topics when it comes to the debates with the Republicans and with the Democrats, with the debates that's going on, which that's comical in itself. I do have a question this morning. The question is, does Jesus have a health plan? Does Jesus have a health plan? Matter of fact, yes, he does. In fact, it's the best one. I just read it in my text that the church is his health plan. The church is God's health plan. Verse 2 said, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to what? And to heal the sick. You see, you don't have to be, this didn't say the preacher healed the sick. It didn't say the minister. It didn't say the priest. This is the church. The church healed the sick. Today, I want to be 21st century apostolic, not just because we baptize in the name of Jesus, or we can quote Acts 2:38 this morning, or that we have our standards that I love dearly. But I want us to be 21st century apostolic because of the supernatural healing ministry of the church. That's what I want in 21st apostolic church, is we need to work in the supernatural. God told us a few months ago with his own words that he used in tongues interpretation that we need to work in the supernatural. He also said a few weeks ago that it's time for us to go. It's time for us to get out there. Basically, it's time for us to promote this health plan, if you will, to let people know, hey, there's something bigger, there's something greater. Amen? Amen. We have to be a church that works in the supernatural. We need to crave the supernatural, not be afraid of it. It is something that is intimidating, something that can be, afraid of. But we need faith builders in the church today. Amen? Will we be misunderstood because of how we work in the supernatural? Of course we're going to be misunderstood. But guess what? That's okay. Because with today, what is normal? Can anyone define normal? I can't anymore. So why not work in the supernatural? You know? I mean, we want to be who Jesus has called us to be. Amen? We see in Scripture that Jesus was very interested in the needs of people. He saw people who were in need of forgiveness of sin. Jesus forgave them. He saw people who had hurting hearts. So Jesus calmed their fears and came into their lives in a special way. He saw people who were physically ill, and the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion on them. So Jesus saw lepers and he cleansed them. Jesus saw people who were lame and he gave them the ability to walk again. Jesus saw people who were blind and he gave them sight. Jesus spoke the word and people got well. What is the church? What is the ministry of the church? It's a healing ministry. We're supposed to follow after what Jesus himself did. When Jesus was on earth, the Bible says that he came to teach, and he did that. He came to preach, and he did that. He came to heal, and he did. With the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said that he would give to his church his spirit. We just sung about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. In the giving of his spirit, there is power in the church today to do the ministry of Jesus Christ. I believe that. When Jesus walked on the earth the first time, he carried out his ministry in a physical body. The Bible teaches that the church is the spiritual body of our Lord. And today he doesn't work in his physical body on earth, but he works in and through his spiritual body. The body of Christ, the church, that's you, that's me. So what are we doing? I'm asking you, what are we doing today about that? Are you worried about other people's needs this morning? Are you worried about your own need? Have we come so self-centered today that we don't know the person that's down the pew from us, how they're feeling? Why is that? We won't talk to them in person, but we'll bash them on Facebook. Is that the church? No. No, it's not. You know I like social media. You know I like all that stuff. And it can be used for good, but it can be used for evil as well. Just like anything can be. But if you don't have anything good to say on Facebook, just don't say it. You know, there's enough junk going on in the world that we don't have to hear it from you too. You know, in fact, I encourage you to go through your friends and hide half of them. Because your bad days you're having is because you're reading their posts. You're like, my goodness, what is he? Just hide them. Or, as Pastor said, he doesn't have, you know, seeking the Lord is what we do, but it's come a lot easier with Facebook and Twitter because people just put their stuff out there. You know, Pastor, I'm sick today. They just checked in chemo. What? Hello. Anyways. Oh, there goes the rabbit trail again. But you see, this generation has too many, you know, there's too many that think highly of themselves, to be quite honest. They think they are God's gift to his church. It's that haughty spirit. Pastor said it the other day that this generation is a preacher generation. You know, I'm sure some people found out Pastor wasn't here. And, you know, I know people miss for all kinds of reasons. I understand that. But I'm sure there's some that's not here because they're like, oh, that broke our kids up there, going to preach again. Oh, boy, we're going to just stay up. but it really is. I'll admit it. There's certain people in town like Reverend Court Chavez or Lee Stonekeen or different people. Yeah, I'm going to go hear them, you know. I don't care if it's Friday night, Saturday night. I'm going to go and hear them. But I'm not going to miss my church on a Sunday. Amen. I mean, if you're so in love with the smile and that God loves you, he has church on Saturday nights. You can go see if you want. But on Sunday, you should be here. Amen. Amen. I told Ramona I've threatened sometimes I get that out of this Botox mind so I can come up here and just have a smile the whole time. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay. You can laugh. It's all right. But, you know, we've got to get back to the basics of this thing. We got to get back to complete faith in God himself, complete faith in his word instead of a person that's holding the microphone that's behind a pulpit. What happened to you reading your Bible? You figuring out what God is wanting to do? Hello? If God's talking to pastor, he could talk to you just as much as he talks to pastor. Pastor's just aligned himself, is there, ready. And sometimes it's not fair that we put all that weight and all that pressure on him to make sure our soul's ready. That's not fair to him. You know, we should be an adult enough to make sure that, and I'm preaching to myself this morning, I need to fast more. What? Fasting? What's that? What? Did he just say fasting? Yeah, we need to fast more. We need to pray more. We need to be in the prayer room before church. Amen. As Brother Woodford would do, la-di-dee, la-di-da. So church, we have a job to do. We have a job to do. God has called us for such a time as this. I believe in every single person that is sitting in this room and every volunteer that is upstairs. Trust me, I believe in you. I'm standing right beside you. I'm right there with you. I'm on the front line fighting with you. Pastor is too. We believe this thing. And it's going to happen. Amen. God wants to use us in the supernatural. And I say us because he wants to use you in the supernatural. Not just pastor, not just the leadership team, but God wants to use you in the supernatural. However, can God trust us with the supernatural? There's the key. Can God trust us in the supernatural? God doesn't need you to perform the supernatural. You know, healing doesn't have to come every time that I pick up the microphone and bless God, there's going to be healing happening. No, without God, you can't do anything. Without God, we're nothing. I told God, I will never step up here with a haughty spirit or, you know, this is the Jared show. Because if that was it, then there'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people here, my family. That'd probably be about it. And they'd be here just because they feel obligated. So this is not a Jared show, okay? This is not Pastor J.J. Bourne's Jr., castle and bless God, this is what's going to happen. No, this is a God thing. A God thing. It's not about us this morning. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom this morning. God is able to still heal. He is still able to deliver you today. I believe that. I've seen it. The Sanctuary of Houston, it's time that we step into our ministry as the church. You see, the body of Christ is assigned the responsibility to carry out the will and the work of Jesus Christ on this earth until he comes back. And he's coming back soon. I am concerned today about the ministry of the church and meeting the needs of people because a lot of us can't see beyond our own needs this morning. A lot of us came in here wondering, well, what are they going to do for me today? Are they going to sing a song that I like today? What are they going to do? Are they going to stretch it out and keep us here to 12 o'clock? Are they going to let us out early? You know, What's going to happen? But when it comes to needs of people, when a person has a need, we need to try to determine, is this a physical or is this an emotional need or is this a spiritual need? We as the church need to be greatly concerned about all three. We are interested in their spiritual need, That's the primary concern this morning. That's why we put the emphasis on winning people to the faith. A person might be emotionally rather well adjusted today, or they might be physically robust and strong, but if they do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, they have a deep, dire spiritual need this morning that needs to be filled. So our number one emphasis is to tell people about Jesus and to get them to an altar, but to let them know that Jesus is here to care for them. He is here to meet their needs. Why do we know this? Why can we go out and proclaim that Jesus cares? Because of our own testimony. You know, I know you're like probably thinking, when Jared always gets up, he keeps talking about this testimony thing. And he keeps talking about we need to speak and talk about Jesus. Well, there are certain emails I have in my box as drafts at work that every year I send them out pretty much right on the schedule. You want to know why? Because people need to be reminded. You need to be reminded. Why is that? It's very easy for us to get in a rut. It's very easy for us to, well, you know, I like this pew. Don't move me from my pew. It's just right. I fit just right. Back support's perfect. The air's not hitting me here. So don't move me, you know? But we need to live up to our name that's on the building, the Sanctuary of Houston. This is a place to belong, a place of refuge, a place of strength, a place of healing, a safe place. This is a safe place. You should feel safe coming to the Sanctuary of Houston. You should be excited to come to the Sanctuary of Houston. Amen? You see, Satan, he wants to silence the supernatural. He wants you to be afraid of it. He wants you not even to touch it. You know, and I love hearing all the stories about the old times and about all the healings and what God had done in the past. But I need to say this here for our generation. I need to let them know that healing is not a generational thing. It's a God thing. Amen. And God's waiting on you to believe in him of the healing. That's it. I believe we're going to see people getting out of wheelchairs. I believe that backs are going to be restored. I believe blind eyes are going to be open. I believe people are going to be able to hear again. I believe there's going to be a line coming all the way down for baptism in the name of Jesus. I believe that. Why? Because God told us so. He told us it's going to happen, that it will come to pass. But you got to believe it this morning. Not only do you need to believe it, you got to proclaim it. You got to remind God, you said this building is going to be full. But guess what? God's going to turn around and say, and I said for you to go out and get them. What are we doing, church? What are we doing? Jesus told the disciples to continue his healing ministry. The first church in the books of Acts, they acted, performed in the supernatural. They were not afraid. The enemy likes to make us feel like this world isn't interested in Jesus anymore. But they are craving him. They're craving him. We have what the world needs right here. They need Jesus. But our Stone King proclaimed it right there on a worldwide stage, where I think they said over 4 million people heard him say, this world needs Jesus. You see, the first church found out that God can heal them physically. But now God can still heal with him inside of us. Mark 16:17-18 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It's time that we stop talking so much about stuff, and let's start doing it. It's time to do it. It's time to push ourselves away from the table. We've all had enough preaching to save the world. It's time for us to push away from the table. Let's go out to the harvest field. Let's get our sleeves rolled up. Let's get our hands dirty. And let's get out there and tell the world about Jesus. Because he already said they're ready. The angels have already been sent around this area. And there's people that are looking and they're waiting. They're waiting on us. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on me. As I said, I'm preaching to myself this morning. You see, there is a problem. We don't see God moving because we're not moving. Why is God going to move if we're not going to move? Signs can't follow if we are not moving. Right? If we're not moving, then how are signs going to follow us? Like I said, Jesus had his healing ministry. The first church had a healing ministry, and he wants the 21st century church to have that healing ministry. And as the world becomes more complex, the church must become more simply focused on its mission to preach simply Jesus. We don't need to get up here and, well, what am I going to awe them with today? You know, God, give me something that they don't know about that I can just, bam, hit them right there. And they're like, oh, wow. We don't need that. I mean, this is not an entertainment show. We've gotten into that. You know, I believe there. Yes, I'm okay with lights. I'm okay with certain things if it's done tastefully. I do not believe you use it to create a supernatural feel. I believe that is wrong. I believe you don't use lights to try to, you feel that? And a little smoke machine in the back. Ooh, you know, I don't believe, no. To me, that's using it all wrong. I believe there's a certain time and place for things like that, but it's not to create an atmosphere of the supernatural. When you start doing that, when you start tapping into that, woe unto you. That's not what we're about here at the Sanctuary of Houston. The other problem is you need to be sick of enough. You need to be sick of enough of where you're at today to change. But most of us are comfortable where we're at. Most of us were here. We feel good. Came to church. Woo! God moved. Man, it was great. We go back doing our thing. Are you sick of enough? You see, you need to be sick of enough before God can heal you this morning. Can't get rid of it if you're not sick of it. I said you can't get rid of it if you're not sick of it. You can't get rid of it if you have become comfortable with your circumstance, or if you accepted, well, this is how my life is going to be. Come on now. God wants us to see and to be used in the supernatural. Here's the answer. The reason many people aren't healed is because the devil isn't healed. Now, you're like, wait a minute, what do you mean the devil isn't healed? Well, this is a play on words, because when I say the devil isn't healed, I'm talking about H-E-E-L-E-D, not H-E-A-L-E-D. And you're probably saying, well, where are you going with this? Once again, the church has a healing ministry. But as an individual and as a church, we also need to heal the devil. And just stay with me for a second. I know some are like, what? He's flipped his lid now. Let's go to Genesis 3 And let's read verses 14 through 15. And the Lord God saw or said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The snake is a symbolic reminder of Satan's future destruction. When the snake is told, he, the woman's seed, will crush your head and you will strike his heel. The snake was cursed to crawl on the ground, and therefore he is susceptible to man's heel crushing his head. This vulnerability is a direct result of Satan's sin. Okay? So this is a foreshadowing of what will really happen to Satan in the end. The seed, which is Jesus Christ, of the woman will crush the head of Satan, and his heel will be struck. The crucifixion is the heel being struck, the crucifixion in the process. You see, there are so many things that you need to put under your feet this morning so you can get the victory, so you can get your healing this morning. Did you know the largest bone in your foot is your heel? Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome how God did that? God gave you the biggest bone in your foot at the exact spot that you can defeat your enemy this morning. Your heel, just right there. Right there. Ephesians 1, verses 22 to 23 says, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Church, we need to learn how to dance with the devil under our feet. God wants to give you power and authority in your life today, but there's some things you need to get under your feet this morning. We're not going to be the church. We're not going to have the ministry of the church, the healing ministry of the church, until we deal with our issues. Amen? Romans 16 and 20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. Amen. Peace doesn't mean we don't fight. But look at this in the scripture. God said he would bruise Satan under what? Under your feet. Not his feet, but your feet. And since the church is Christ's body, the church will participate in the destruction of Satan and will emerge victorious over him. Amen? Hallelujah. I thank God for that. When you read it like that, it's like, well, next time you go, well, shut up, Satan. Get thee behind me. Why? You see this? I have power to stomp your head with my heel. With my own heel. Not his heel, but my heel. I can stomp your head. Doesn't that uplift you today? Doesn't that help you know that your enemy, he's already defeated this morning? You have to believe it. And he is so good. He is so good at distracting us. He is so good at letting us believe lies. Because he's the father of all lies. He's so good at making you feel worthless. When you are a child of the King and God's giving you everything you need to conquer your enemy this morning. So we could be the church we need to be. That God's waiting on us to be. He's waiting on us. Get your act together, sanctuary. Come on. I'm waiting on you. It's there. It's ready. The window is open. We don't know how long it's going to be open. So we got to hurry. We got to get ourselves aligned with him this morning. But wait, the 21st century church, we do have another problem. We have a heart condition. We have a heart condition problem, meaning there's an area of weakness. You see, we cannot be healed until the enemy is healed, as I said. And we need to get back where God wants us to be spiritually. When a heart is not fully devoted, then it is bent away from God. You see, you can't serve two masters today. And it is that simple. It's either you're serving the world, Satan, or you're serving God. It's really that black and white. It really is. It sounds childlike, but it truly is. It's between good and evil. Which side are you on? If it is not in your heart, you will not be able to stand for it, but you will compromise. You see, we need to stand. We need to get our heart right today. We need to get our feet right today. We need to stand for one God. Hear, O Israel, our Lord is one. We need to stand for holiness today. We need to stand for truth today. We need to stand for what we believe in, what we've been taught. You see, if it is under your feet this morning, then guess what? You are above it. If it's under your feet, you're above it this morning. Isn't that awesome? You see, you can't live a life where you carry the cross and still keep worldly things in your hands at the same time. You can't do it. Why? It's been tried over and over again. You just can't do it. If the musicians will stand, or please come and we can stand. I want to bring one more thought to you. In Joshua, in chapter 10 in Joshua, I found this was pretty incredible. After Joshua and the Israelites defeated the Amorite armies, Joshua had the five kings removed from the cave. Joshua then asked his military captains to put their feet on the necks of the five kings. You see, this is what the Holy Spirit, or this is what God basically is saying to each of us. And in quotes, it says, I have given you the victory over these spirits that have come against you and tried to bring you into a place of decrease. It's time to put your feet on the neck of the enemy and enforce your victory. I believe in these last few years that we've been putting our feet on the necks of certain spirits that has haunted this church for 85 years. And I believe that we have been destroying them one by one. That's why I believe we keep moving forward. You see, Jesus is waiting until all enemies are made his footstool. Let your faith arise this morning to realize the enemies that have been holding you back have been exposed. You see, they've been exposed. The five kings, what did the five kings represent here in Joshua? Well, it represent the spirit of oppression was one king. Another one represent the spirit of religion. The other one represent the spirit of besiegement, which is barren or isolation, basically suicide, that kind of thing. The other one was the spirit of blindness. And the last one was the spirit of accusation. All five of those were defeated that day. They put the heel on those spirits' necks and they defeated them that day. You see, you have the victory in Christ this morning. It's time to put your feet on your enemy's neck this morning and declare your victory. You see, the ministry of the church is healing and healing. Both. So, does Jesus have a health plan? Yes, he does. And today is your health check. Right now is your health check for you this morning. Are you where you are supposed to be in God this morning? How is your faith this morning? I wonder if we can all come to the altar, and I wonder if we could do a little bit of a health check, if you will. Do a little health check on your soul so that we could be the church that we need to be to this community, the church that we need to be to our families, amen? The church that we need to be to Houston, Texas this morning. I encourage you, do a health check. Let's do, check your vital signs. Let's run the test. Let's make sure the blood is still the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, that's running over your soul today. Do you need a renewing today? Guess what? He is here to renew you today, amen. Maybe you've gotten further away than you thought you ever would have. Well, guess what? God is here to bring you right back. Why? Because he's already overcome. There are people here that need to take back what the devil has stolen from you. Some of you need to go to your enemy's camp right now in the spirit, and you need to walk in there and take back what he took from you and let him know, hey, I'm a child of the King, and you don't belong here, and you don't belong to possess this because this is mine. Amen? The devil is scared that you're going to realize who you really are. The devil's scared that you're going to realize the actual power and authority that you have in the name of Jesus. It's time to act on the authority. It's time to let him know that the doctor is in the house, the great physician is here, and it's time for us to get ready. It's time for us to go out. So I wonder if you can, let's just all search ourselves today. As I said, I'm talking to myself today. I need to search myself. God, I need to be better. God, I need to pray more. God, I need to fast more. God, I need to talk to people about you, Lord. I need to witness more. God, I need to have compassion as you have compassion for lost souls. God, help me, Lord, not to waste my time. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Let's ask God to help us right now.